Here we are continuing our study of the book of Deuteronomy. And believe it or not, we finished with the Ten Commandments last week, and we're moving on. We're still in Deuteronomy chapter 5, and we're going to do chapter 5 and chapter 6 today. We're going to be talking about the greatest commandment. So if you've got your Bible, I encourage you to go ahead and find Deuteronomy chapter 5. And if you can find Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you look, Deuteronomy 6 will be right next to it. No. So feel free to, if you can find one, you can find the other. If you can't find chapter 5, find chapter 6, and voila, chapter 5 is right there. But today's message, as the herd goes pounding out the back, today's message is going to be dealing with fear. Now, that's going to be the heart of what we talk about today, fear. Raise your hand if you've never had to deal with fear in your life. Never had to deal with fear. That's amazing. Obviously, you don't hang around me. The key thing that we're going to talk about here today is not, we're not going to end in fear, but we're going to point out the fact that as believers, we are to move from fear of God to love. Okay? That's where we're going to go. Fear is at the heart of what we're talking about, but that's not where we're going to end up. We're going to end up with love. Okay? But to get there, I want to tell you a story. I didn't make the story up. It's not a story that came from me. In fact, you might want to share this with your children later, okay? Andrew Cleese. I want you to know that I researched this for hours. I even sought help from a professional on how to pronounce it, and they said, good luck. Talk to you later. And I found, and I said, my idea is just to call him Andy. And I found a children's book for 3-year-olds that used that, and I thought, So Andrew Cleese and the Lion. The story goes like this. Andrew Cleese was a slave, a Roman slave that was in Rome-occupied Africa. And as a slave, he thought that the living conditions were less than ideal. He didn't like it. So he ran away. And so Andrew Cleese left his wherever he was enslaved and headed out into the bush. And one day, he sought shelter in a cave. I don't know why maybe the sun was beating down on him. Maybe there was a terrible storm. I don't know what's going on. But he sought shelter in the cave. And in the cave, what did he find? He found a very unhappy lion. Now, as the story goes, and you're all familiar with this, you probably don't know about Andrew Cleese, the lion had this massive thorn in its paw, and Andrew Cleese pulls the thorn out, right? And so, Andrew Cleese and the lion, then they become bestest buddies. And they live for many for a long time together, and it was great. And the problem was that Andrew Cleese was not a lion. I know that shocked some of you, but he got lonely. And the story goes that Andrew Cleese, having spent years with the lion, was longing for human companionship, and so he goes back, and he is recognized. And he is identified as a runaway slave. And as a runaway slave, the consequence was for him to be recaptured, shipped to Rome, and placed in the Colosseum where slaves, runaway slaves, were to entertain the masses by being torn apart by wild beasts. The only problem for Andrew Cleese being torn apart was that in the Colosseum, the most ferocious animal in there happened to be his buddy. And so here's Andrew Cleese thrown literally to the lions, and the lion comes up to him, and they're buddies, right? And this so intrigued the Caesar that Caesar calls Andrew Cleese out of the arena and asks about this, and in response, Andrew Cleese is not only given his freedom, but he's given his lion, this lion. And it's, the story ends that from that time after, Andrew Cleese was to be seen walking around the area with this lion on a string, and people would shower the lion with flowers, and they would give Andrew Cleese money. So isn't that a great story? Here you have a guy who's a runaway slave who finds an angry lion, who rescues the lion from a thorn in the paw, ends up being rescued by the lion from being devoured in the Colosseum, and they live happily ever after. And you're thinking, that's a great story. And I'm thinking, I didn't write it. What does that have to do with going from the fear of God to the love of the Lord? Thank you for asking. We'll get there. The greatest commandment is not to fear the Lord. How many of you found Deuteronomy chapter 5? Good? Yeah? Look over to chapter 6. We want to read verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, actually is the record of the greatest commandment. And it says this: You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That is the greatest commandment. We've just spent 2.5 months going over 10 different commands, the 10 commandments. And immediately after we get done with those 10 commandments, hard on the heels comes the greatest commandment: to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. But if you're reading in Deuteronomy, the 10 commandments end in verse 21. And there's verse 22 down through the end of the chapter that we just kind of skip over. But I don't want to skip over because it's vital. So take a look in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 22. Moses is speaking and he says this: These are the words the Lord spoke to all your assembly at the mountain out of the midst of the fire, the cloud, and the thick darkness with a loud voice. And he added no more. He wrote them on two tablets of stone and gave them to me. Now, you need to remember that Moses has been talking, and Moses is with the nation of Israel, and they're standing on the west side of the Jordan. They are standing on the west side of the Jordan, and they're preparing to go across the Jordan and enter into the promised land. And they're standing right on the cusp. And Moses, who is not going to be allowed by God into the promised land, is reminding the children of Israel who they are. And he's taking this time and he's teaching them again what God taught them at the mountain. And so when we're talking here, and Moses says in verse 22, these are the words the Lord spoke to all of your assembly, Moses is referring 40 years into the past. Now, most of the people who are alive listening today were children. Some of them weren't even born. But they are part of this family. They are part of this nation. They are a continuation. So when the people stood before the mountain of the Lord 40 years ago, they are considered to be this same people, even though it's a new generation. This is history. Now, read on with me. Verse 23 of chapter 5. As soon as you heard the voice out of the midst of the darkness, while the mountain was burning with fire, you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. And you said, Behold, the Lord our God has shown us his glory and greatness, and we have heard his voice out of the midst of the fire. This day we have seen God speak with man and still live. Nice. Wow. Read on. Now therefore, why should we die? Here they are. They've seen and witnessed God. And God has spoken from the mountain. And they're like, we're all going to die. It's hilarious, in my opinion. I mean, it's truly an honest response. But check this out. As soon as you heard the voice, behold, now why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die. It's such a change from the first. Oh, God's spoken and this is wonderful. We're all going to die. When they encountered God, they were afraid. They were afraid to the point that literally they thought they were going to die. You know, in all reality, that's not a bad thought. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, and Proverbs 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." To be in the presence of the Lord and to be afraid is a good place to start. But did you see what it says? It says it's the beginning of wisdom. Fear of God. It's a great place to start. In fact, if you turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, God is talking and he says, "The Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God." Do you get that? God is a consuming fire. God is a jealous God. When you read in chapter 5 there, and they come and they're like, "Behold, God has given us his word and this is great. We're all going to die." That's an appropriate response. That is a place to be. That is the right place to go. The question isn't, should we be afraid? The question is, what should people do when they encounter a terrifying God? Do you understand? God is terrible. He is terrifying. He is almighty, a consuming fire. It should petrify you to come before the holy, just, all-powerful, consuming fire of Jehovah. But the question is, what do you do with that? Remember our story? I think it's recorded in Aesop's Fables as well. But they miss something. There's something there that they just skip right over. Stop for a minute. Put yourself in Androcles' shoes. I mean, we know how the story ends, right? But go back to the beginning. Put yourself in Androcles' shoes and enter into the cave. What's your first response? Yeah. And running away, right? Yeah. You come into this cave and there is an agitated, unhappy, grumpy killer, this lion. And he's not in a good mood. He's got something stuck in his paw. Have you ever had a sore tooth or anything and been grumpy? Your kids walk in and they walk right back out. My children love to tell the story of when I was doing some remodeling in our house in North Carolina, and they all went and climbed trees to hide. I wasn't mad. I was just swinging a sledge, and it was scary. Put yourself in Androcles' shoes and walk in and see this lion and realize that he's not happy. Why did Androcles enter the cave? He was desperate for shelter. It's in the fable, it says that he was looking for shelter and went into a cave. But there he found a lion. What two choices did he face? Stay or go. why do people turn to the Lord? Why do people who are going about their life turn to God? People are looking for answers. People are looking for shelter. People are looking for solutions. And they go and they try and find it. You understand? The world is not a fun place to grow up in. The world is not an easy place to make a living. The world is not an easy place to raise a child. We live in a world that brings people to the point of need. And they go and they seek them. And even if you are born into the wealthiest, most prestigious, most wonderful family in the world, you have a problem. You have a problem of sin. There is within you a fallen sin nature. And because of that, there is a broken relationship between you and God. Many people cannot understand that. Many people don't realize that we are broken. They just are out there trying to find answers in whatever way they can. And many of them wander into God. The reason why they're looking at God, the reason why they're searching, because they're people in need. The first step of faith is confession. Do you know what happens when you run into God? The first thing that you're going to feel when you truly encounter God is the same thing that the Israelites felt when God spoke from the mountain. You're going to be afraid. Do you know why? Because God is holy and just. God abhors evil. God is perfect and true and cannot stand evil. And we, apart from God, are fallen, broken, and evil. Just as Androcles walks into the cave seeking shelter and realizes, oh no, there is an angry lion in there. People walk into the presence of God seeking shelter, comfort, healing, restoration, and they encounter a holy and just God, and they must come to the point in time where they realize, I am a sinner. Now, just as Androcles had two choices, he could either run away, which the vast majority of us are smart enough to do, or he could reach down and for some weird reason, help the lion out. When people encounter God, they have a couple of choices. The vast majority of the world denies. Whatever, God, I don't need you. Whatever, you can't judge me, I'm doing the best I can. I need help, but I don't want your condemnation. I need help, but you're just too over the top. They run away. They don't deal with it. But see, to be afraid of God and to realize that He holds the power of judgment, to realize that we are sinners in need, we are sinners that stand ready to be judged by God. But the story doesn't end there in abject terror, does it? We read on into Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we run into the greatest commandment. Verse 6, or chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land to which you are going, that you may fear the Lord your God, you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all His statutes and His commands, which I command you. Verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The commandment is to love the Lord. The commandment isn't to fear God. Do you realize that when you stop and take time to look at God, fear is automatic? It's just the way it is. We understand things that are scary in this world, and God is one of them. And if you don't think God's scary, you haven't actually stopped to look at God. But the command isn't to fear God. The command is to love God. And not just to love God, but to love God with all. It is to be a love with everything that we have. We are to love the Lord with a truth and a purity in our heart. Our love for the Lord is supposed to be passionate. Our love for the Lord is to be that emotional drive. That thing, you know what it's like to be in love. You know that emotional feeling, that all-consuming, where you do crazy things because you love the person. And you're willing to endure because you love the person. Because it makes you feel better. It's not just our heart that we're to love them with. We're to love them with all of our soul. That means all of our intellect. We are to be rational and thoughtful and think about our Lord. We are to love Him with our mind, meaning that we study His Word. We know what He asks us to do. We commit our mind and the way we look at the world, the thoughts that we have, according to the Lord. And it's not just it's a deep commitment. More than that, we are to love Him with all of our might, which implies that it's going to take endurance to love God. That loving God is not going to be easy. It's going to be a challenge. It's going to take effort. A long, strenuous effort. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and our might. Hold on. God's terrifying. He's scary. He stands ready to judge both the living and the dead. People who hear Him speak from darkness are so afraid that they think they're going to die. Why in the world should we love Him? That's a good question. I'm glad I asked it. Yes, ma'am. That's true. He's not a safe lion, but He is a good lion. The lion loved Androcles because the lion loved because Androcles helped him. Here's this lion that came back and saved Androcles later because Androcles did something for him. Why should we turn from the fear of God to unconditional, all-encompassing love of God? We understand why Androcles and the lion got along. They helped one another. Androcles took the thorn out of his paw. The lion saved Androcles from being eaten by other lions. Why should we turn from a completely rational, a completely justified, a completely legitimate terror of God to an all-consuming, unconditional love of God? If you've got your Bibles, we're gonna start in chapter 5, and I'm going to hit a whole bunch of verses just in a row. You ready? Chapter 5, verse 29. God is speaking about the fear the people have for Him, and He says this, Oh, that they had such a heart as this always, to fear me and to keep all my commandments, that it might what? Go well with them. Skip over to chapter 6, verse 3. Hear therefore, O Israel, and be careful to do them, that it may go well with you. Skip down to verse 18. You shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you. Verse 24, the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord of our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as we are to this day. When we start with the fear of the Lord, and that fear leads us to obeying the Lord, it is for our good. That's the reason. Why should we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our power? Because He loves us and has a great plan for us. God knows what we need better and more than we know ourselves. We are to love the Lord that it might go well with us. The idea that God has all of these capricious commands and He asks people to jump through these hoops and follow all these ridiculous rules because God is some capricious God and He wants to see if He can make us sit up and bark is completely and totally wrong. Satan says that living for yourself is the best that you can do. Go out there. God doesn't really know what you need, or God doesn't know what you want. God doesn't know what's good for you. Sin, maybe it feels good. Go out there and live for yourself. Only you know what's best for you. If it feels good, yeah. The only problem is, as we live our life that way, we see more harm and destruction. Oh, don't get me wrong. Sin feels good. Woo-hoo-hoo! That's the voice of experience. But wow, does it bite back. The penalty and the pain of sin in our lives is amazing. I wish I could say that I know the pain of sin and so I never sin again. But doggone it, I keep stumbling over that. But God never changes. God never wavers. God always tells us the truth. He always has our best in mind. Why should we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might? Because He's got a good plan for you. Not necessarily an easy plan, but it is a good plan. In fact, it's the best plan. There's more to it than that. This seems kind of a little bit off. But when we obey the Lord, when we turn to God, when we say no to ourselves and yes to God, when we, as in the parlance of today, are saved, we come into peace with God. Remember back to the cave and seeking shelter? Why do people seek God today? Because we were created to be in relationship with God. And when we are serving ourselves, when we are choosing to do our own thing, when we have said no to God and yes to self, there is a discord. There is a break. It doesn't feel right. It's not right. The reason why we go into the cave, the reason why we seek the Lord, is so that that relationship can be healed, that we might have peace with God. Do you know why we need peace with God? Because there is a day of judgment coming. Remember when the nation of Israel encountered God on the mountain and God spoke from, they were terrified? That is a natural and normal and right response to a perfect and holy God. Because we are broken. We have a sin issue. And there is a day of accountability coming. There is a day when God will judge both the living and the dead. And if we have to stand before the Lord carrying the guilt of our own sins, there is only one result: damnation. But the good news is this: on the cross, Jesus Christ accepted the guilt for all of our sins. And God poured out His entire wrath upon Christ. And He suffered and died to pay a penalty so that we would not have to. And God, in His gracious love for us, says this: I will judge sin. And if you are guilty of sin, you will bear that guilt. But I have provided salvation. You can accept the righteousness of Christ. You can pass the guilt to the Lord. He will accept your guilt. But for you to enter into that relationship with the Lord, you have to love the Lord with your all. There's no say this magic prayer and you're off scot-free. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. It's not that we earn, or it's not that we secure our salvation. But when we come before the Lord and we see ourselves as we truly are, and when we turn to Him, that's the way it is. You either turn to Him with your all, or you really haven't turned to Him. So this is it. We are to turn from fear to love. There's good reason. There's good reason to fear the Lord. Many people encounter God and they run away and they refuse to deal with the fact that they are sinners. They refuse to deal with the fact that there is a holy and just God who stands ready to judge. But God welcomes us. And when we see Him and we are in fear of Him, He offers us forgiveness. And when we accept that, we turn from fear, and our fear becomes love. And it is a beautiful and wonderful thing. And that's what we're about here. We're about the love of the Lord. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day. If you haven't, then God still holds a pure and unmitigated terror for you. You can deny it. You can walk away from it. You can say whatever. But the reality is, God is. And when we turn to Him, He offers us forgiveness so that we can love Him with our all. Let's pray.